hosted this episode with support from our production assistant, Mary Newman, and co-producer, Amanda Antel. A special thanks to Denise Berkshire and the forestry rangers at Tillamook Forest Center for their interviews and insights, our student collaborators, the PCC Accessible Education and Disability Resources Department, the Multimedia Department, and the Sustainability and Basic Needs Center at Portland Community College, and KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM.
Thank you for listening to Let's Talk, Portland Community College's broadcast about disability culture. Find more information and resources concerning this episode and others at pcc.edu/DCA. This episode was produced by the Let's Talk Podcast Collective as a collaborative effort between students, the Accessibility, Education, and Disability Resources Department, and the PCC Multimedia Department. We air new episodes bi-weekly on our home website, our Spotify channel, and monthly on KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kboo.fm.
We invite you to participate in our brand new public affairs program, Once Upon a Time. Share with us your memories and touchstone events of your life, of your journey. Join us first and third Friday of the month from 11 to noon. Here on KBOO 90.7 FM and available online at kboo.fm. Consuelo is my name, and I will be glad to hear from you and reminisce about your journey. Once upon a time, live in the air room here at KBOO 90.7 FM. Share with us your memories, experience, and journey of your life. First and third Friday of the month, from 11 to noon, here at KBOO 90.7 FM.
The following program is a rebroadcast. Dates, times, and events mentioned in the following program have already occurred. Thank you for tuning in to KBOO Portland.
Good morning, this is Disability Justice, an everyday pursuit and survival. Your host, John Griffiths.
This is Dina Wilder, the behind-the-scenes editor. You are listening to KBOO Portland.
With me in the studio today is Seth Ring, the Director of Education for Metro East Community Media. So, Seth, what is community media?
Yeah, community media is basically, think of it as like, you know, it's an opportunity for sort of anybody in the community that wants to create their own show or create media to sort of get their message out. Sort of like what you're doing right now with Disability Justice. We focus more on television and film-based media. And it's, you know, we provide the training, software, and then sort of staff support to help people get their ideas afloat. In our circumstance, it's important, you know, we have a certain number of cable channels, sometimes we're called cable access, that are available to people to put their programming up. So we help train people so they can create their own television shows, and then those go up on our cable channels. But, you know, lately we've also branched out into different forms of media, including, you know, audio and, you know, VR, that kind of thing. So, you know, we're really trying to help people build media skills for the 21st century, but also a lot of focus on film and people telling their stories through you know, taking videos and that sort of thing.
How many channels do you actually air on?
We air on 6 channels in the East County area and then the greater Portland area, the Tri-County area.
So you guys reach all over the state?
I don't know if, I think it's just in Clackamas, is it Washington County, and then Multnomah County. That's sort of our network, you know, and then of course we're on YouTube.
Okay. So,
yeah.
And where is Metro East Community Media located?
It's located in Gresham. So we're actually right off of, we're kind of the Gresham Transit Center right there at the end of the blue line. We're very close to that. It's the corner of, we're 829 Northeast 8th Street in Gresham. So it's at the corner of Cleveland and 8th.
So people who don't know how to drive can probably get, could, would have easy access to Metro.
Absolutely. Yep. So we do have quite a few members that do, are not able to drive. And so actually a lot of them take the MAX or public transportation to get there. I also like to take public transportation to get there because it's pleasant and I don't have to drive, and it's good for the earth.
And how does, COVID-19 right now, I'm kind of hoping we're hitting the endemic, but it's still here. And obviously that must mess a little bit with the staff a little bit.
Yes. Yeah. You know, one of the things that we, you know, immediately everything had to be virtual, and that what we did our best to make that happen as quick as possible. I'm really proud of like what Metro East and the staff did. You know, we had to go virtual, since then resumed in-person classes, but we had to, for this current surge, we went back to virtual teaching. So it's been a variety pack, but it's also been really good for us because there's a lot of people that can't get to Metro East for certain things. So our orientations, we continue to offer a virtual orientation. When we can, we've been doing sort of like topical, fun software-based classes and that sort of thing. You know, we realize that virtual is a good option for people because attending is not always an easy thing. So it has impacted us, but I think we were able to pivot fairly quickly. I actually think we were pretty instrumental in the community. We did a class on how to use remote, you know, like Zoom and Google Meet software, because at the outset, like, not a lot of people were fluent in those types of software.
Yeah, me too. So I mentioned earlier that you are the director of education. What exactly does the director of education do for Metro East?
Yeah, well, it's a variety pack, but you know, the broad scope is, you know, I like to say that we educate people from 8 to 88. And, you know, honestly, like the 88 is just because it sounds good. But anybody over 88 could come. But we educate like a wide swath of people on how to use media equipment with a focus on film and video. And so what I try and do is I try to coordinate with schools and nonprofits to do youth-based media education. And then I also try and coordinate our sort of volunteer base and our staff to provide programming for the public. Because when we work with a school, basically we work with teachers or nonprofits, and we have sort of a captive audience in a class and we get interns, that sort of thing. When we work with the public though, it's sort of just based on attraction. People can come in for, you know, they may want to just come in to take one workshop, or they may want to like come and produce their own show. So I sort of help coordinate the logistics on that. I also teach a lot of our classes for youth and some of our classes for adults. I apply for grants or help apply for grants and just sort of generally help keep our department running and try and keep us sort of relevant and connecting with the community. I also I work with our digital equity, director of digital equity and inclusion, Jessica Liu. She does a lot of programming. It's called digital inclusion. So when I was talking about Zoom, you know, that's a good example. Or in the past, we've done something called Welcome to Computers, where we train immigrants and refugees how to work on how to use the internet, that kind of thing, how to use a computer. And she also does some training called Digital Art Night, where she's working with immigrants and refugees, teaching them how to use an iPad, but doing it in sort of a fun way where they create their own video or use Google Slides. So a lot of that, you know, I sort of take my education acumen and apply it to that, but I'm also really engaged in teaching too.
Ah, thank you for that. And I was wondering, what services can like Metro East Community Media provide for people with, or, you know, just people in general? What services can you provide? And then what services could you like, I mean, could you be more specific on any services that you provide for people with disabilities?
Yeah, I'll start with saying we are a very inclusive organization. We have a large focus on underserved groups. So I'll start there. We definitely, you know, people with low income, BIPOC communities, people with disabilities, like, you know, we want to serve those groups. And so we kind of like start with a lot of that in mind. In terms of our general services, you know, if you're just a general member of the public, you want to learn how to create a show, create a film, use our audio booth or something like that, you can come in, take our orientation. And then after taking the orientation, you can take classes to teach you how to do that. And then you have access to equipment and studio space to create what, you know, what it is that you want to create. So that means we have cameras and microphones and, you know, studios with multiple cameras in them to create the product that you're interested in doing. There is a cost to that. So, you know, a membership is around $100 for just an individual out there in the community. But we also try and accommodate people that may have difficulty or challenges with the cost. So veterans, people with disabilities, students, and seniors all have, it's a $25 membership. And if you can't afford that, then we just waive the fee because we'd rather have you participate than not. So I think, and in terms of what can we offer to the disabled community? So I think that, you know, a few things, we are working on those types of accommodations. We have sit-stand desks in our edit suites, which was part of a recommendation from actually a gentleman who was in a wheelchair and kind of gave us some ideas on how we could become more accessible. We are working on our closed captioning game, trying to step it up. As I mentioned before, like we want to be affordable, and also just working with groups with of people that have disabilities, you know, like trying to make sure that we put more focus on that. And if somebody asks for more help, that we're available to help.
But I am kind of curious, going a little bit further into the areas of disabilities, people with intellectual disabilities often need more technical supports and staff accommodations. Is there some way of getting a regular individual, or maybe not a regular individual, but is there a staff member within the Metro East that you can kind of keep on going to and say, I'm having a problem with this, can you help me out with that? Somebody else like that?
Yeah, I would say, you know, we don't have one person that just says like you are the only person that works with disabled people. Like it's more the team. And I think, you know, we're very open to one-on-one trainings, and we have a lot of people that have, you know, this is technical software. These are difficult tools to use sometimes. And so we have a lot of people that ask for that kind of training, and that includes disabled people. So yes, we can accommodate that. We actually, so I forgot to mention that, you know, as of now, we do help to some extent with delivery of equipment to people with disabilities or who can't drive. So we've actually in the past, like we could, if it's a challenge to get to Metro East, we try and accommodate people. We also offer like extended checkouts. so that, you know, our usual checkout time is 72 hours. But in general, if we can accommodate people, we try and help. We try and help make that happen, especially if they have a disability. I also think some of our choices in terms of equipment, we've chosen iPads, for example, because they're very accessible to people from all walks of life. They're easy to manage, easy to sort of manipulate. And so we do try and make conscientious decisions that, you know, they benefit the community as a whole, but also will benefit the people in the disabled community.
So you guys have kind of moved away from the really large cameras that sit on your shoulders and looking through the little glass. And I mean, you guys have kind of moved away from that?
Well, we still do it. We have all that stuff. We just wanted a better stair step into that world. So, you know, if somebody wanted to start and just use an iPad and all they ever did at Metro East was use an iPad, and there are people that do that, that's fine. If somebody wants to work their way up into more technical equipment and pick up one of those heavy cameras, like, that's an option too. So, you know, we try and meet people where they're at with the technology that seems appropriate for them at that time. And if they feel like moving forward with that technology, then we try and accommodate them where they're trying to accommodate that.
And would you also like have them like little GoPros, I guess? I think I've gotten that right, but a little camera?
We have GoPros as well. And GoPros are awesome because, you know, it can be hands-free. You know, you put it on your head and press record. I actually am a big fan of GoPros, like for cooking shows and DIY type of shows. Mm-hmm. And iPads too. I think they're both sort of technologies that open up possibilities.
Yeah. And that's why I'm trying to do this today, is to get the message out there. Hey, if you got a project in the disability community and you want to see it on TV, mm-hmm. Metro East is the place to go.
Yeah.
Metro East Community Media, excuse me.
Yeah. I think, you know, that's a really good point. Like, you know, I think if you need an iPad or you need a GoPro or you need the equipment to make a show, that's fine. But we also have the space to make it too. So we have a green screen in both studios. And one thing that you may find as a filmmaker, it's really difficult to find a quiet space to have a conversation in. So we have two studios that are fairly, you know, quiet. They're not perfectly soundproof, but those are opportunities if somebody wanted to green screen. I know that like a previous sort of companion of you and Dina's, Michael, made a puppet show using our green screen and an iPad, which to date, I think that's the only puppet show I've seen on Metro East. I can't claim it's the only one in the entire history, but I still think I dig it, like, because I like puppets.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, and John Griffiths, the host of Disability Justice, is interviewing Seth Ring from Metro East Community Media.
And just out of curiosity, I mean, obviously when it comes to Metro East, there's got to be some kind of limitation, you know, due to FCC or something, mm-hmm. some other thing that's going to be kind of like looking over you guys' shoulder and saying, you can't put that on the air.
Yeah. So, you know, we do have some limitations. First off, you can't make something for a commercial product. So you couldn't like be somebody that manufactures horseshoes and then bring it on and be like, check out our cool horseshoe and try and sell it on our channel. When you monetize something in that way, that sort of like breaks our rules. So that's a good starting point. There's other material that like is sort of prohibited. Some of it's like lotto, or if you don't have permission to film somebody, those are sort of things that are not allowed on our channel. But there's actually, since we are a large portion of what we're doing is about freedom of speech, there are certain things that are allowed. They're just allowed only after a certain time at night. They're called safe harbor hours. So that kids don't see them. So there's like expletive, you know, profuse swearing, extreme violence, medical procedures, and nudity are allowed on our channels, but they're only allowed after 11 o'clock at night because all kids go to bed before 11 o'clock at night.
And all kids used to go to bed before 11 o'clock at night. Yeah. And so Metro East would be a good place for somebody who has a creative project or maybe has like a message that needs to get out. And when I say message, like somebody's in the midst of some, like we have a huge provider crisis, and we've had a huge provider crisis forever and a day. And somebody who wants to get out and make some kind of message to reach out and touch people and try and get some support behind that. Exactly how many people would they be reaching? I mean, you probably don't have an exact number, but it'd be kind of nice to know what the numbers are. Who actually watches your channels?
Yeah, I don't have, so I'll tell you, we do not have access to Nielsen ratings. So what I can tell you is this, we go to over 350,000 homes in the greater Portland area, that the Tri-County area. So I'll start there. On top of that, so that's one sort of like venue, that's one channel that you can reach people via. But then you can take everything that you've made and put it on YouTube or Vimeo or Facebook or, you know, sort of TikTok or Instagram, whatever your sort of social media choice or all of that stuff. So, you know, again, it's about getting in front of a bunch of different sort of viewers, right? And you can take your one recording and you can output it to a lot of different places. So I think that what you said earlier, you know, if you have a message that you're trying to get out, the other thing that, you know, a lot of people don't think about is something called narrowcasting. And actually, since the advent of YouTube, this has changed a lot. But we have, I always like to talk about, there was a lady that had a show about quilting for Metro East. Can you guess how many Facebook followers she had?
No.
She had like something like 27,000 Facebook followers. Now, you wouldn't necessarily see a quilting contest on ESPN, like a bunch of like grannies, like furiously knitting, you know, in competition with each other. But it was a hit show that did well on YouTube and had a lot of Facebook followers because people are interested in that. And I think something like what you're doing, John, that sort of like there's interest in it, but network TV, you know, for its diabolical reasons, wouldn't air it because it doesn't make enough money. There's plenty of people that want to watch that and need that information. You know, like this is part of the conversation. It's like everybody having a voice. This is part of it, you know, because you can't, because we don't have access to network TV. Well, this is a way that people can have access to being on TV and also access to the equipment so they can put it out in other channels like YouTube and social media too.
And speaking of YouTube, I mean, somebody who is like me, I'm completely, I get close to my computer and it blows up. So what I'm saying is I have no technical know-how whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And would you be able to help them like take this something, their message, and put it on YouTube or put it on some form of social media? And maybe not you specifically, but somebody within Metro East.
Yeah, what I would say is like that's sort of a case-by-case basis. YouTube would not be a problem. In fact, from Final Cut, our editing software, you can directly sort of upload to YouTube. So, and we occasionally do, we actually just partnered with the library in the fall. We did a film with your phone class followed by a YouTube class. The librarian taught a YouTube class. So I think at a bare minimum, we could teach you how to export to YouTube and Vimeo and probably walk you through some of the steps of your YouTube channel. We still need to step up our social media game in that sense that like walking people through. We've done this before, introduction to social media. So you'd have to do it as a case-by-case with staff scenario. I think that, you know, that is a space that we've been involved in. And I think if you were able to get a little time with a staff person, they could probably walk you at the bare minimum to get something on YouTube or Vimeo.
When I took a few classes at Metro East, they were all in person. And I was wondering, you know, there was a lot of other people, and sometimes you don't feel comfortable in asking a question. Mm-hmm. And after the classes, I noticed that, boy, did the teacher suddenly get mad.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of like interested, is there some way of getting some one-on-one?
Yes.
Education.
Yes. So we always ask people to go to our classes first, because, you know, if we retaught the class for every single person that we ever had, like, we just wouldn't have the resources or capacity to do that. But if you need to do a follow-up type thing where you come in and like, you know, I need a little bit more time to ask you some questions on X camera, that's a totally acceptable avenue. The other thing is, if you're a member, you can take the classes as many times as you want. So you could literally take the field camera class 12 times if you needed to. And we've had really good results from that. Like, we've had people that, you know, were very persistent and they kept taking the classes because they learned, it's sort of just like teaching by repetition. They learned every class something new. So you can do a little combination of getting a little help and then also coming to our regularly scheduled classes. But I also, you know, something that we're leaning on more is referring people to online tutorials too. There's a service called lynda.com. Well, it used to be called lynda.com. Now it's LinkedIn Learning, that's available for free through the library. And it's really good professional level sort of video tutorials on using different gear. So we're trying to really we're trying to make use of resources that are already out there so that people can do some learning on their own. And then also being available for people when they need help in person as well. We're trying to sort of like present the whole suite of available resources.
Yeah. I was wondering if there's anything else you would like to add.
One thing that I think, you know, speaking to your audience with disability justice, I'd like to go back to that point about, like, you know, the disabled community does not always have the same clout or voice in public conversations, in part because of limitations around media. So if that is near and dear to you, I like to think of what we're doing. I think it's educating people. And part of why I got into media is because, you know, I think it's the most powerful force on the planet. Think about the changes in our culture that have occurred because of media, the changes on our planet that have occurred. If you draw the link between, you know, fossil fuels and how they were advertised, or cars or whatever, how has that impacted our planet? And that is in part because the goal of so much of what you see on TV is to make money, right? And there's so much media just based on that alone. Like, I know the different flavors of Fruit Loops. I know Lucky Charms. I'm being taught every day. Kids are being taught that every day because they watch thousands of commercials that say buy this, buy that. That's a type of education. And what I would say is for the disabled community is take advantage of what we have to educate people and expand their awareness of the disabled community. But if you don't feel like doing that, also, if you just have like a cool thing you want to talk about, like for me, it might be biking or the video games I like to play, then do that. It doesn't have to be about a disability. It could be, or it could sort of be some sort of interface, you know, like making gaming easy for disabled people or something like that. You know, take advantage of what we have, be creative and be yourself.
Yeah, thanks. That's really good. That's one of the things I like about KBOO is they gave a voice to those that don't generally have a voice.
Yeah.
It's nice to hear from you. I hope to see you in person and in the studio sometime soon, or at that barbecue you all throw.
Occasionally. Yeah, we'll see about that. It's been a while and it's all COVID-centric, so... Yeah, we definitely, you know, we want to be open soon. It's just, you know, we're trying to be safe. So
everybody's doing that right now. And everybody's, I think, pretty much got their fingers crossed and calling this the endemic.
Yeah.
So I want to thank you for coming on air and, you know, giving us some of your time and telling us all about Metro East and, you know, telling us about the services it offers and, you know, also telling us that this is definitely an avenue of one way of getting our message or our creativity out to the world.
Thank you. I love working with you, John, so I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, well, I hope someday we get an opportunity to work with Michael and Dina and many others all together on some big project of some sort.
Epic proportions.
Yes.
That's the end of Disability Justice. Since we cannot be fully aware of everybody's difficulties within the community, we would really like it if you would send us your email, disabilityjustice@kbu.org.
KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kbu.fm.
KBOO just finished our annual All Thrills, No Frills special programming campaign, and we'd like to thank all of our supporters for helping us bring engaging, unique, and all-around fun special shows.